Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Tradecast. I, as always, am your host, Eric Berthel, better known on Twitter as @DynastyTrades, joined by my two co-hosts, Nathan and Dan. Dan, a man who called Ricky Seals-Jones a couple weeks ago. What's going on, guys?
I'm sat upon my pedestal here, kind of patting myself on the back as we speak.
But I can't hear you from that ivory tower. What is it you're saying?
It's nice getting a Tyreek Hill-type call correct like Nathan did. I think we're now 2 for 2 on the Dynasty Tradecast here in the last deep stash episodes for the last 2 years.
So you've already stuck the landing on this one after nine targets and two TDs.
No, not even nine targets, nine snaps, two touchdowns. We're counting it just like last year after Sterling Shepard had like four catches in a game, and I counted that. We gotta go with it, man. It happened, and hopefully people realize that he actually is kind of a decent football player. And he's crazy athletic for his size. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk more about it in the show. What's up?
What's up, Nathan?
Yes. What's up, my friends?
Nathan, you look like you're in a dungeon. What is going on? Yeah,
I don't know what's happening with Nathan. Let's just introduce the guest here. We're thrilled to be joined by Curtis Patrick, senior writer at DLF. You also do PFF work, right there, Curtis?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on. Yep. Doing some redraft work and some light to medium heavy DFS work at Pro Football Focus.
That's awesome. Make sure you guys follow him on Twitter. You can find him at CPatrickNFL on Twitter. So welcome aboard, my friend.
Yeah, it's my, I guess it's my maiden voyage upon the USS Dynasty Trades cast. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, unfortunately, we're in season, so we can't play like Dynasty Shark Tank or anything fun. But as I see in the agenda here, Nathan has rolled out a drunk or not just for you. So you get a little bit of the fun.
Can't wait.
All right, with that being said, I want to let everyone know that you can get a listeners only 30% discount to RotoViz NFL Pass through the NFL Podcast homepage. That's rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our NFL content, and it helps support this podcast. So if you want to do that, you can contact us via email. That's rotovizradio@gmail.com. And you can find us on Twitter or DM the account on Twitter, and that's @rotovizradio. Okay, everybody, how did the week go? Everybody butthurt here?
No, doing quite well. Lots of W's on the board, a couple of TBDs. But the Dynasty world, it was shook a little bit. It was an enjoyable week, though, watching Nathan Peterman.
As a Tyrod fan, that was so good to watch.
Oh, I loved it so much. I was for the whole day. I made that stupid little meme that, "Hey, Peterman," from Office Space. That's all I can think of now when I hear that guy's name or see it written. That's all I can think of.
Hey, a Nathan disappointing in a debut. I've never heard that before.
A disappointing Nathan in general.
Yeah, I was about to say debut is generous, my friend. Debut is generous.
Big surprise.
Wait, so how many? Like, we're well on the path to playoffs. So I guess Curtis, how are you looking for your Dynasty playoffs?
I should make them in all but one league.
How many leagues is that? Like 19? So you got like 18 leagues you're in?
No, I've got 8 leagues right now that I'm playing. I've got a 7-10 winning percentage across my portfolio. So
that's so pretty good.
I'm doing pretty well right now. So pretty, and the team that's losing is supposed to lose. So that's good.
That's fantastic. I think we lost Nathan, so we're just going to keep rolling through the show right now.
What about the
he's intimidated.
What about the Twitter poll we threw out there, Mr. Berthloff?
Oh, yeah. So this is called us mailing it in. I'm sorry. We really thought long and hard about this, and we brought it up, or Curtis told us. We argued for 5 minutes before the show and came up with this one. So Twitter poll this week is discussing – or is between Derrick Henry and Samaje Perine. For those of you that might not have caught the action this week, Perine came in lieu of Rob Kelly and had a really, really nice game. Henry's been kind of throttled by DeMarco Murray's production this year and kind of just in this constant timeshare. So I guess I'll just kick it over to Curtis, our guest, and ask him what side he's got and why.
Oh, I'm on the Derrick Henry side here. I really don't like Perine. I think I had him ranked like 13th in this rookie class coming out. I would definitely, if I had any I need to double check. I don't think I have any, but I would definitely sell him. And the fact that almost a quarter of respondents in this early poll do prefer Perine means that if I had a share, I would certainly be trying to flip him for a guy like Henry, even if I had to add maybe like a third rounder or something just to entice the other party.
And how about you, young Daniel?
I liked Perine a little bit more. I don't think 13 to, you know, from the start of all of the rookie action was very far off for Perine at all. I think that's probably, I probably would have had Henry a little bit higher up, pre-draft and all of that. And I did like Perine. Obviously he's a little bit more limited, and not crazy explosive or anything like that, but he does just well enough. And obviously we have a potential super freak in Derrick Henry, but I think maybe the Titans are holding him back a little bit. Obviously he can't surpass DeMarco Murray, even with the injuries and the mediocre play at best. I don't know that it's necessarily an indictment on him. I think it's more of a Mike Mularkey and them just forcing their hand and featuring DeMarco Murray. But honestly, I would take Perine here at this point, just because the fact that the Titans aren't wanting to use Henry more and more and more, it worries me a little bit on their thoughts of how he's progressing. Obviously, it could just be a coaching thing. I think Henry's more talented. I think Perine has a potential for more points sooner.
Don't you worry that they didn't want to use – it seems like they didn't really want to use Perine at all for the draft capital they gave him. And, I mean, now we're in the situation where this offseason, the reason Perine's draft capital rose was because suddenly everybody had, like, the Jeremy Langford bug last year, and started thinking about Rob Kelly busting out, and then suddenly this new rookie taking over, and Jordan Howard in that analogy. I mean, isn't this what we were hoping for, where suddenly we get to see his value there?
Yeah, I think he was held back a little bit in those rookie drafts too because of Rob Kelly, but also because of Chris Thompson. And now, unfortunately,
not in rookie drafts because of Chris Thompson. Yeah. I don't think anybody was like, Chris Thompson's going to happen this year.
And it was an obvious cap on any sort of PPR work. You knew nobody else was catching passes based on what Chris Thompson did last year. He wasn't a huge, huge, you know, monster like he was this year, but he still caught enough passes and put a big enough dent in there where I don't think anyone thought that one of these backs was going to catch passes. It was a two down back basically. And now without Chris Thompson, we're going to get to see Perine featured in that main role. And they might bring up Nathan. Who are you talking to or with Russell about?
The great Byron Marshall from Oregon.
Yes, they might bring up Byron Marshall. I don't know if he's already been activated or if he's still on the practice squad or whatever. Bring him in to succeed in that role, or they might just start using Jamison Crowder. But dynasty value wise, we're kind of just diving into like season long stuff. Dynasty value wise, I think these guys are actually pretty close. As stupid as that may sound, I was never super high on Derrick Henry, even though he's super intriguing. And I did like Samaje Perine for what he was. I don't think he has tons and tons of upside, but there's not a lot to go on with Henry outside of his physical attributes.
Interesting. I mean, Nathan, I guess tell me a little bit about this Byron Marshall, because I have legitimately never heard that name in my life. So why don't you fill the listeners in on him and give us your take on the trade.
Marshall was a right running back wide receiver hybrid, went undrafted in last year's draft, and he went to the Eagles, and people thought, okay, he's going to learn under like the tutelage of Darren Sproles, and I guess he did in a way, but now he got picked off the practice squad from Philly, and now he's in Washington. I believe he's on the active roster there, and so I think that, I mean, for me, it's more of just a complete, like, maybe they'll end up using him in that Thompson role, but I think it's more likely they just end up giving more carries to Perine. And I do like Dan's take of maybe this gets Crowder a little bit more involved. Speaking to the poll itself, we all know I'm a Henry guy. I mean, yeah. You know, on this very podcast, we basically called Perine barely rosterable like a couple weeks ago. And to go from that to comparing him to one of the better running back prospects we've seen in recent memory, yes, Henry's had a slow start to his career. Yes, the Titans might be holding him back a bit. The only way where you can go Perine in this situation is if you're like, okay, it's a one-year-only deal. I'm not worried about the production of these two running backs past this year. because I think that Henry will much more likely to have the long-term starting role in an offense than P. Ryan will. P. Ryan will get supplanted by a free agent running back, a rookie running back. I think that P. Ryan scores more points the rest of the year, but I think that's really the only place that he beats Henry.
I totally agree, Nathan. I mean, Derrick Henry is actually ranked 8th in PFF elusive rating, which is, you know, the measure of, you know, what the back's creating for himself beyond the point of being helped by blockers. I mean, he's just not getting the opportunity. Like he's doing very well when he does get the, when he does get the touches. But I think the team is just hell bent on squeezing every penny out of that DeMarco Murray contract and preserving Henry's future ability to carry a heavier load when Murray is gone. So, I mean, it's really frustrating to own Henry because, you know, you just, I own him several places. You want to see him, you want to see him banging, but you just may have to wait until next year. I mean, I actually think I agree about 100% with you on this one, Nathan, that, you know, P. Ryan outscores him rest of the year. But I mean, I would almost rather flip him now just off of this one, you know, 100 yard performance, because if he follows it up with a stinker, I mean, it's just, it could potentially be a really, really tiny sell window. I just, you know,
Curtis, that was going to be one of my questions for you is, I mean, because there's definitely a gamble always when you're selling, especially somebody who's got this much opportunity, is now the time you would sell P. Ryan? Or, and you just answered the question, but would, like, I guess, is anybody waiting a couple weeks to see, you know, like him blow up a couple more of these games and the value rise? And same, I guess I'll ask across the board and just maybe in quick format answers is, how much value are you bestowing upon P. Ryan? What are you hoping to sell him for or buy him for in Dan's case?
Yeah, I mean, holding a player, I mean, trading or not trading a player, I mean, there's risk either way, like not pursuing every single trade opportunity or buy opportunity if it's a guy that's slumping. I mean, you're going to pay the penalty for whatever your decision is every single week. But I mean, I don't even think in the totally rosiest of situations, you know, what would his upside story be? I mean, you talked about Jordan Howard last year. And, yeah, you know, P. Ryan had, what, 30? Hold on, I think I had it pulled up here. He had 40 receptions in 3 years at Oklahoma. You know, he was a featured two down back there. Didn't really get any of the receiving work because of Joe Mixon. And, you know, I just don't – when the team has Chris Thompson, I mean, tell me, make a compelling argument why they would take away any – targets from a guy who's been so efficient and so productive and effective in Thompson next year and give him to P. Ryan just to keep him on the field for three downs. I mean, it doesn't really make any sense from a coaching perspective. He hasn't shown to have good hands. He's actually had ball security issues just even when running the ball. So yeah. I guess I just don't really view him as a long-term asset. And, you know, range of possible outcomes that I'm wrong. I mean, he could definitely carve out a two down role moving forward, but I just really don't see him projecting to a three down role. So I'd much rather flip him, you know, for the opportunity to draft somebody in this coming class that could potentially be, you know, a three down back. So I think you asked the question about, you know, what would I take or you know, if I did own him. Based on this poll, this Henry poll, I mean, I think there's going to be plenty of people out there clamoring to give their mid, maybe even early second round picks for him. And that's plenty for me. I'm not going to be greedy, you know, when it's a guy I don't believe in.
Yeah, I think this is actually a rare case of with a rookie player. If the people who are trading for him right now, they're not thinking, oh, this rookie is going to be a stud on my team for so long. This is purely a buy, win now play, you know, pursuing Samaje Perine. And then, okay, if he ends up being good in the long term, then, you know, that's an added bonus, especially at his price point. You know, investing in early second, is there, I mean, yes, like for some that might be considered a decent amount, especially for P. Ryan, but that's not enough to say, oh, like you're completely busted if, you know, he ends up not doing anything past this year.
Totally. I mean, and if you're a contender and you're at the trade deadline, are you trying to make a deal for a second? And I know, Dan, I know that's probably a price tag for you, but in that inverse situation, because I think we all agree if the ship is on the line here, P. Ryan holds a lot of value in his current situation.
I think for contenders, a second's a steal for potential points going down the stretch. And Curtis, just a minute ago, you asked for kind of an argument towards why it would be P. Ryan, even considering when Chris Thompson will come back next year and take that passing down work again. It's points now. And for me, running back, even in Dynasty, points now matter more than points future. Waiting on running back is not something I'm okay to do unless it's an IR designation holding them back or whatever. We're going to be in year three, and we still don't know if Derrick Henry is going to be able to handle the workload. Yes, he's flashed. Yes, he's looked good occasionally. But if we're looking at running back in any format, we need production now. Waiting on production for running backs is just – it's not really worth it, because now at this point we're looking at somebody who's going to be producing and is going to gain value with his production. So even if he puts up a stinker next week, we at least got some sort of value out of him. And we don't know that future value is going to be there for Derrick Henry. If they keep feeding DeMarco Murray and Henry gets 6 to 10 touches every game, you don't know what you're getting, and it's just kind of a constant, all right, well, it's always next week, and it's always next week, and then next year. So I think for me, points with running back matter now, whereas with wide receivers, I'm way more willing to wait on them, because wide receivers a lot of times take time to get into that shape, whereas running backs, if they're not putting up points early, and we're seeing that production, they're not really worth much.
All right, let me cap it there, and let's dive into the rest of the show here. But that's an interesting discussion, and I think there is definitely some points there on both sides. So diving into the show, week 11, probably the funnest storyline of the, unless you were a Bills fan, which probably then it wasn't so fun, was Nathan Peterman going in with the Tyrod benching. Nathan Peterman going in and just literally lighting himself on fire in Tiananmen Square. Just five interceptions, just GG, pulled him out of the game. And Tyrod's like, oh, did you need something? And comes back in and plays his old conservative, like, middle-of-the-road quarterback self for the second half.
Oh, Peterman's so bad. He's so bad. And people are like, oh, you're going to condemn him. You're going to condemn him over you know, X amount. Yes, we are, because we knew he wasn't good going into it. And Tyrod's just good enough and has plenty of rushing upside. So as in, like, the fantasy community, we're like, no, what are you doing? Because, you know, Tyrod's a nice QB2. And
QB1 sometimes. A lot of times QB1.
Right, a lot of times. And even how conservative he is, he's still putting up points. So for us as the fantasy community, it was like, oh, my God, this is the worst thing ever. I know Jeff Miller was a big Tyrod guy too. Thinking back to, like, rankings, having him as, like, QB9 or 10 or something like that in Dynasty rankings, and I was right there with him. And now it's like, okay, now they're going to play some dude that completed more passes to the other team than to his own team. Well, I don't get it.
I mean, there's no Dynasty uptake here. There's no Dynasty, I don't think, take here, other than it's clear Tyrod ain't going back next year, because they clearly don't want him there. And it's clear Peterman is on your Dynasty waiver wire, like, starting today.
Yeah.
Anybody got a different take, I guess?
I think that, I mean, if you're going to look for a silver lining for Bills fans, it would be that if they know that they're going to depart from Tyrod Taylor, you're not going to enter the season with Nathan Peterman as your starting quarterback next year. At least you know that after this game, because if you have, Peterman benched his entire rookie year, there could have been a chance that, okay, they let Tyrod go, and then they enter week one of 2018 with Peterman as their starter. Not going to happen now. They'll invest again, whether it's in the draft or in free agency in the offseason.
Yeah, EJ Manuel should be a free agent, so that should be perfect for Bills.
Oh, man, I got to share a Peterman tweet that I saw while the game was going on that just killed me. So this was tweeted at 5:58 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I think it was at halftime of that game. Tom Brady, 5 interceptions since January 24th, 2016. Nathan Peterman, 5 INTs since 4 o'clock Eastern time. I read it several times and it killed me. But yeah, I mean, Tyrod is, he's fantasy QB 14 so far this year. He'll probably drop to 15th after Matt Ryan puts his, I think he only needs 13 points to pass him tonight. So he should do that. I think it makes Tyrod more, probably even more interesting. And particularly in Superflex, just based off of kind of playing the where is he going to land game. You know, he may be worth nothing, but, you know, if you were to try to picture what maybe he could do in a Jacksonville situation or something like that, which is what, like, in terms of scheme, Buffalo South, but you at least kind of know what he would be bringing you. So if the owner, you know, is wanting to punt him or something, I think maybe even like a late second in super flex, I might be willing to gamble on him. But in single QB, I mean, I'm just pretty much not interested at this point now that he's been benched.
I mean, I'll hop in and just say I would not sell Tyrod for a late second in super flex. I think I would need an early first. It might borderline on a late first, or I'm sorry, early second, late first.
Yeah. My buy point, not my sell point. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, buying him, I would be happy to pay. I think I would be happy to pay an early. Like if I had locked in the 201, I think I would be happy in super flex if I needed it, because he will start somewhere next season.
He certainly should. I don't know that we can say he absolutely will, because we've seen this kind of crap happen before. But
he's clearly not toxic locker room guy. Like
I wasn't going Kaepernick. I wasn't going Kaepernick route. I still love Tyrod. I still think he's got plenty of upside. I really hope that they don't put Peterman back in, even though I think the Bills are just stupid enough too. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, he was being dropped in some 1QB leagues. Like, I mean, I'll take him for free. I'd even probably give up a late third or a fourth if somebody just really wanted to dump him, just because he's worth having that. I don't know. Buffalo doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
All year they haven't made sense.
Curtis mentioned Tyrod to Jacksonville. Jacksonville has become the new, okay, every running back and wide receiver to New England, every quarterback to Jacksonville.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do it, man. I'm sure there'll be another person to rumor there next week, but it is fun because it's just so obvious. You know, it's what they need. It's just so obvious. So, I mean, in New England, we got to be more specific. It's every white wide receiver to New England. It's not every receiver. Let's be real.
Man. Actually, no. Brandon Cooks there was fumes beforehand. So that's I'll give credit where it's due. I mean, to be fair, Blake Bortles just might Trent Dilfer his way to a Super Bowl. Let's Okay. Mm. All right. Well, there's some fun. All right, let's dive in. Let's talk another quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky. What are we doing with him? He had an okay game. He's played what, 5-6 games at this point, and six games at this point, and has looked. I mean, John Fox has him on a tight leash, and he's looked subpar, but not necessarily. He didn't go full Nathan Peterman. You never do that, and also. We should totally use this as a verb. You don't want to Peterman yourself.
Oh, are you just gonna substitute Pal in there one time to see if he catches it?
Never go full Pal.
Yeah, I put Trubisky on here because I thought it was interesting. I was seeing and reading a comparison to Jared Goff's rookie season, and I don't quite get that. Jared Goff's rookie season was catastrophically bad. I think that the Goff comparison is something to try and, you know, towards year two, but Trubisky has looked like good enough to like be an NFL quarterback. At least he's obviously being like restricted by his head coach and restricted by his offense. His wide receivers are people that worked at Home Depot 2 weeks ago. So,
I had a gas station night shift manager joke ready, man. Like you literally are thinking the same way. That's so funny. Okay. Here's a good one. Trubisky, since he took over as starter, he's second in the NFL in QB rushing yards. Did you know that?
Yeah, he's sneaky.
Yeah, it's just Cam. Cam's the only one in front of him since he took over as a starter. I mean, this might be like a secret Konami code deal here. I mean, he's got
like Alex Smith.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 163 yards rushing in six games. He's got, I mean, he doesn't have a lot of passing touchdowns yet, but I mean, Nathan did a nice overview of what he's throwing to. He does still have I guess 2-1 touchdown interception ratio. It's 4-2. And I don't know. I mean, I think given the system, given what's around him, I think he's performed admirably. And, you know, I'm starting to show a little bit of chemistry with Adam Shaheen, second round pick from this year. Yeah. So, I'm kind of interested in Trubisky. I always liked Shaheen. So, especially if Fox is gone, I mean, I think this might be an attractive spot for head coaching candidates. They're going to see what Trubisky's done in a very, you know, limited offense and want to see what they can get out of him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that begs the question of, I mean, because I'm on board with you. I think that the Trubisky's a buy, or at least I think that's what you're saying is right now. I don't think the perception on Twitter and in dynasty communities right now is that Trubisky will pan out as a quarterback or has high upside as a quarterback. And I think if you asked this time of year with Goff, you'd get laughed out of the room. And then Jeff Fisher goes away and suddenly Goff's a valid two, late QB1 in dynasty circles. So, I mean, what are the prices we're paying, or are we trying to go out and buy Trubisky if we can in a super flex league, or single QB league is a bit of a stretch maybe, but what are we shopping for in a super flex league?
I don't know that I'm in buying mode quite yet. It's tough, kind of like last year with Goff. I mean, Nathan, you brought up the comparison, and I think the coaching thing actually makes it a decent comparison, even though that the prospects themselves aren't a great comparison. Looking at it, I think the Rams were so gross with Fisher, and then now, I mean, nobody saw what McVay is doing to happen, but I think I'm just kind of playing a wait and see, and if I miss, I miss, but I think we need to see something else change in Chicago, and it might be a good time to just go throw out a mid round pick dart throw. If someone, you know, maybe is kind of lush at quarterback or is maybe kind of soured on him a bit, even though he really hasn't played bad. I know Curtis alluded to that. He definitely hasn't played bad, and especially considering what's surrounding him. So I think maybe just going out and throwing, you know, a second just to see, just throw a dart and see if somebody picks up on it, because I mean, the upside is definitely there. We just need to see someone scheme him in better. And I don't know what on earth John Fox is doing there, but he's got to go so bad. He's, I know, close. We see a lot of Chicago Twitter putting up the Firefox symbol as their avatars on Twitter. that's pretty good. And I'm all on board with that. And I don't know that many people are even watching Chicago games outside of Bears fans at this point because of how bad it's been. So, maybe the fact that people aren't watching him makes it a good buy, just because of that.
What specific valuation in two QB leagues would you be hoping to either sell or buy for?
I certainly wouldn't be trying to sell Trubisky right now, because there's no way you can get more than what you paid. You paid, you know, that 108, 109 range for him, maybe 110. And I think that the move you try to make when buying is if you have like an early second, throw an early second and a mid third out there. And that way the person who's receiving the offer doesn't say, oh, well, that's way less than I even paid for him a couple weeks ago or months ago. And he really hasn't done much to decline in value. So I think that you have to throw a little bit sweetener on top, even if it's something as simple as a middle third round pick.
But that's a totally fair price for somebody we think could be a starting quarterback for at least the next couple of years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I'm all on board. I like that. I like that price. And he's not even universally owned in single QB. I've got Dynasty Command Center going, and I had a bunch of people say that they added him for free in the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, if it's deeper than 20 roster spots, he should be owned.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. Definitely. I completely agree.
Okay, so transitioning from someone who is drafted second overall in this most recent draft, we might as well talk about everyone's favorite new app, Draft. It's a daily fantasy site or app, depending on if you're using your phone or your computer. And there's new drafts happening every couple of minutes. It's awesome. You hop in, you make your picks, you throw a few bucks in, and one of the best parts is right now, if you use our promo code of RV Radio, you can get yourself a free game. So you can find out if you like it, and you will. You'll love it. It's so much fun. They've got it up and down. There's different valuation or values, so you can play, you know, a dollar. You can play $20. It's
you can
totally
play
worth
$1,000 if you want. I've seen it.
Yeah, well, you know, most of us aren't lush like you, though, Eric.
I'm not playing those games, full disclosure.
But it is very fun. And for, you know, most of the fantasy community, we all love to draft. That's why they made this. That's what it's for, because drafting is so much fun. We all do mocks, and we all do this. And now you can actually play daily fantasy, but physically draft rather than just, you know, budget a lineup. So it's so much fun, guys. Remember to use RV Radio as your promo code. Hop in there, get a free game with your first deposit, and enjoy and win some money.
Yeah, so that's to follow up with Dan there, just search Draft in the App Store, go to playdraft.com, and come play with the free promo code RV Radio and get a free game. All right, let's dive into a guy who's kind of slumping. Started off red hot this season and was the talk of everything. And that is Kareem Hunt. He had another, I wouldn't call it bad game, but just really average game for a rookie running back, and has not looked his two TDs, 150-yard self from the first couple weeks. I guess I'll just kick over. What are we doing with Kareem Hunt, guys?
Kansas City's bipolar, I think. The way they started this football season compared to where they're at now is I honestly don't know. I mean, we've seen this from Andy Reid of late. It seems like he just forgets how to coach or forgets what the hell he's doing out there. And it's honestly amazing to me how you can watch this team for the first, what, 5 or 6 weeks, and they were just unbelievable. That offense was high flying, and they could, you know, force teams to pass on them. And now it's just like they don't remember what that was. They forgot to run those plays. They threw that playbook away. And it's affecting, you know, kind of everybody. We're still seeing Travis Kelce, you know, get the catches and the yards. And Tyreek Hill's been pretty good. But Kareem Hunt's just like slowly gone downhill and just kind of plateaued. And again, it just goes to show you not to overreact to something that's happening. I definitely did, because I wasn't a super big Kareem Hunt guy to start the season. And watching him those first few weeks, just it made me think of Jamal Charles. And I wanted to get in there. And fortunately, I didn't buy any shares because I sent out some pretty expensive offers to get him, but obviously not expensive enough. So I still think, you know, he's going to be an RB1. We just need some consistency in Kansas City, and I think that's what I'm most worried about.
I mean, he's ranked as PFF's number two most elusive runner this year. He's eighth in yards per pass route run. He's only dropped one of his 36 catchable targets. He has the most 15-yard runs out of anyone in the NFL with 12, and that is a list that you want to be on. I mean, the guys behind him are Shady, Ingram, Jordan Howard, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley. You know, by any objective measure, he's been very effective all season. You know, it's just his opportunity isn't where some of the other guys are. You know, for somebody that started the season so hot, you know, he's only being given the 11th most valuable opportunities. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Scott Barrett's actual opportunity work, but you know, he's got the 11th most valuable opportunity rate of any of the running backs in the NFL, which is pretty ridiculous, considering that he was so key to how they started so hot in those first 4 weeks of the season. You know, I mean, he's RB1 through 4 weeks, and he's been the RB14 since week five. So, you know,
what do you have, like four carries at half this week, something like that?
It's really frustrating. And, you know, the big issue for him is that when he, you know, what do you have, 80 some yards this week? If he had just had one plunge, we wouldn't be talking about it. But you know, the touchdown is the big difference, and he just hasn't been able to find the end zone.
That's been the difference, you know, the last couple weeks. I feel like that's the reason we're having this conversation, and I think a buy low window is starting to present itself here, is because he just can't. He's not getting the opportunity to score a touchdown.
Yeah, I think it's been 6 weeks, I think it's been six games since he scored a touchdown. So you know, I think it's a little bit of variance. It's a little bit of the Chiefs. Maybe trying to say maybe they self-identified during the bye week or something, or over the course of the season, that, hey, we're not really the team that we were during the first 4 weeks, and we got some lucky breaks, so we need to learn other ways that we can play. We don't know what we're going to see in the playoffs. I mean, Andy Reid has, you know, he's a playoff veteran as a coach, and you want to see the different types of things that your team can do. Unfortunately for us, it's been at the expense of Kareem Hunt, but you know, I still think he's a top five dynasty back right now. I mean, I would pay that price for him still. I think in terms of, you know, where would I rank him maybe against the incoming class? I mean, I think he's right there, like at 102, 102, 103. So, I mean, I'm a believer just because he's been so effective, even though the fantasy production hasn't maybe followed suit, you know, of all these different efficiency metrics. So I'm definitely going to be patient with him.
What are you, if you're trying, because like I mentioned a buying window, and I feel like that's the case. I mean, what are we, because I agree with you, Curtis. I think that there's still a lot to really like about him, and the price tag has probably gone down from that two first price tag you had originally. What is the price tag that you're hoping to take a shot at acquiring him for?
I'd give somewhere on the range of like a mid first, a mid second, and a mid third, like first, second, third, to go down from that price tag of two first. I think that it's just a case of his production is going the way of the Chiefs offense. At the beginning of the season, the Chiefs offense was playing way over their head, playing above their talent level and scoring too many points. That goes down and the touchdown stop. And, you know, at some point, this Chiefs offense is going to recover and, you know, be, you know, a top 8 to 10 NFL offense, which we thought they would be entering the season. So I think that it's only a matter of time for those touchdowns to come. We've seen so many times touchdown regression of, oh, this guy has 8 weeks without a touchdown, and then he has like 4 straight touchdown games. So it's always important to, you know, buy the guys who aren't scoring touchdowns, sell the guys who are, even if that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, that seems fair. I think if it was just, you know, going out and making an offer for a first round pick, I think I'd probably be in that 103-104 range. I still think I'd rather have Barkley and Geis. I might even start talking about one of the wide receivers, but I think knowing what he can do, knowing the type of offense that he's in, and the team that he's with, I think you just kind of have to have him at that high value, and I don't know that gets him. People are still pretty enamored with him. The guys that were high on him to start the year owned him for the most part, because most of those guys were getting him in rookie drafts, and then they watched him explode, and they either sold really, really high, which was smart, because you were getting, you know, high-end wide receiver ones like crazy, and now, you know, we look back and think, oh, well, maybe that was a bad idea, but I don't think it really was. I think I'm with Curtis. I think he's probably in that top 5 to 7 range. And I don't know that you can really argue that, even with the incoming class and the rest of the rookies performing this year. I still think I might prefer Leonard Fournette, but it's really, really close. I probably wouldn't trade one for the other.
I mean, if before the season we knew that after 10 games he was going to have over 1,200 total yards and 6 touchdowns, you'd say smash hit. And you know that he's going to be Andy Reid's running back for the foreseeable future. And Reed has been, for the most part, a fantasy boon to running backs. So I think it's just staying away from this downturn and, you know, kind of ignoring some of the narratives. And, you know, the best time to buy is when maybe people are getting a little frustrated. So, you know, that's my take.
Absolutely.
100%. All right, let's move on to Devontae Adams, a guy who I apparently own literally no shares of because he's been exploding and I did not even know it. I looked at the Packers game scores and I'm like, woof, they get shut out and he still puts up scores. So I guess let's talk about Devontae Adams and what we're hoping to do with him.
Hold. This is your Green Bay Packers wide receiver one for the foreseeable future. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, even if he's not healthy, we've seen Brent Hundley feed him. He focuses on him. He does not take his eyes away from Devontae Adams. And you know, the Rodgers and Jordy Nelson connection has been crazy for the last however many years. But Jordy's getting a little bit older. This is one more half year without Rodgers, and I think the transition's coming like it has come with the Packers in the last decade. You know, he went from Donald Driver to Greg Jennings to Jordy Nelson, and now it's Devontae Adams. I think he is that guy. I think he's been that good. Obviously, he struggled early in his career with, you know, focusing. It was a real struggle, and there was a lot of leagues where I was getting him as a throw-in into trades, and watching all of the gifs on Twitter of the ball hitting the little girl in the face and going through her arms, or the puppy trying to do a backflip, catching its toy and it landing on its head and the toy bouncing away. those were just what we kind of correlated to Devontae Adams, but he's definitely a hold for me. I'll buy if I can, but I think most people are probably catching up and realizing that he is the Green Bay Packers wide receiver one now.
All right, what about specific valuation, Dan?
Startup, Dan, I think that's more actionable.
I would say he's an early to mid wide receiver two right now. I might even dive in and say late wide receiver one, but I don't think I'm ready to do that yet. I still think I'd come up with at least a dozen guys I'd prefer, but he's definitely rising up there. And I think the big turn, and we'll see if he gets into that conversation, will happen this offseason, and what they do with some of their aging guys or whatever it happens to be. But I think he's definitely in that conversation.
Yeah, for me, I think that he's and there's a lot of guys that have performed well this year that have entered this conversation, but I think he's entered that late second, early third round range of startups that happen early this offseason. So I think that, you know, he's a guy that has performed really well, and he has the quarterback. It's so funny to have like a quarterback of the future who's like 33, 34 years old, but that's the case in Green Bay. So I think that, you know, Adams has a pretty safe floor going forward, and his ceiling is always going to be pretty high as well in that offense. So I'm a big believer in Adams now. I was cautious, you know, because of his early season struggle or early career struggles. But, you know, now that he's basically dominating with Brett Hundley, the guy is the real deal.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just checked. The ADP mock ADP from November. Looks like the community is taking him at 33 overall, so mid to late third. I would say that's too low.
About a round.
Yeah, I mean it is about a round low. I was gonna say he's more of a mid to late second for me. He's my wide receiver 12 in Dynasty right now. So maybe I'm just a tiny bit higher even than Dan. It sounds like Dan likes him a lot too. I mean, his quarterback's rating, you know, when targeting Adams, he's number 4 in the NFL this year. You know, his quarterbacks have a rating of 118.7 when targeting Adams. And
that's something you can't argue with, right?
You can't. And that's with both of these quarterbacks. That's not just Aaron Rodgers. That's Brett Hundley, who's been otherwise pretty much, you know, I mean, pedestrian would be probably kind. Except when he's targeting Adams. You know, Adams has 620 yards and 6 touchdowns despite this topsy-turvy season. I mean, I'm all in on him. I think, you know, he's not just a hold, he's a buy until this mock startup ADP and trade valuation corrects.
Okay, so what's your with your higher ranking of him, Curtis, what are you, I guess, if you had 2 to 3, I mean, is he two firsts? Is he slightly less than two firsts? Is he the 101? I guess, where is he at for you?
Two rant, maybe just slightly below two random firsts. I mean, he's right there. I mean, he's right there around kind of the Kareem Hunt range for me. I mean, they have pretty similar values for me right now. I don't think if I had the 101, I'd send it just, not necessarily because I don't like Adams to that degree. I just think I could get more than Adams. Was sending the 101. So I guess, you know, everything's situation specific, but it's probably fair to say he's really close to two random firsts, and I would pay two late firsts for him.
I'd pay two random firsts. I don't have two random firsts in any league, and I never will, but I would absolutely pay that valuation.
What about the man who always has two random firsts in a league?
It's so true.
There's never really a such thing as a random first. I would have to be absolutely sure that those firsts were not going to end up like top three. But yeah, I'd give like the 107 and 109 for him.
All right. Let's move on to another dynamic playmaker who's been injured here, and that's Corey Coleman for the Browns. Finally came back from IR, and looked like the only beacon of hope until Josh Gordon arrives and saves the day. So. I guess, what are we doing? Corey Coleman, I think even Ryan McDowell made a tweet today saying, basically showing a graph for how criminally undervalued Corey Coleman is in Dynasty. What are we doing with Corey Coleman? What are our takes on him? Does this performance coming back change anything for you?
Eric, Corey Coleman has not been undervalued in my leagues because I own every single share and no one has tried to buy him once. So I love me some Corey Coleman. I am not looking forward to the return of Josh Gordon because I think that will stunt his growth if, you know, he actually comes back and plays well. But as of now, I'm loving me some Corey Coleman. I think that he's a good buy right now, but I think he'll be a better buy once Josh Gordon gets to the field.
Totally agree with that. I've transitioned into a Corey Coleman guy. I did like him, you know, before his rookie year and everything. And even though he's struggled with some injuries and all of that, he's looked good when he's been on the field. This last week he looked, I mean, more than capable. I don't know that he's a true one in an offense. I think he'd work better with someone across from him. But I mean, he's a very talented player, and I don't obviously like him as much as Nathan does. I don't think anyone does, but I have plenty of shares pretty much every league I don't play with Nathan in, which is not that many. but yeah, it's exciting to have him back. I think the Browns are about to get a whole lot better. They've got him to lean on. If they can, if Hugh can somehow figure out the running backs and realize that Duke Johnson is significantly better than Isaiah Crowell. And once they get Josh Gordon back, that team could be a real threat. And if DeShone Kizer grows, and that defense continues to get better, this Browns team is no longer going to be a laughing stock. I remember we talked about it preseason and made bets about how many wins they would have.
Yeah, I think they got to win out for me to break even at this point. So,
shit. Yeah, no, they're getting there. I think they might be still tanking a little bit, you know, taking advantage of these last few first round picks that they're going to have until they get really good. And yeah, Corey Coleman's going to be a good buy. Like Nathan said, I think that was a very smart take for once. And once Josh Gordon comes back, he's going to be, you know, his value is going to drop and he's going to be much easier to get. I think after he has a good game like he did this week, he's kind of tough to go and just try to steal from somebody. You're a week too late. You should have been buying while he was on the IR. And yeah, I'm kind of excited to see him.
I mean, that's a general rule, I think, across the board, is if you believe in somebody's talent, targeting them when they've been on the IR for a bit is always a solid strategy, because it is incredible how short-term memory this entire community is. So,
it is crazy.
Yeah, for like a game that we're supposed to be playing for the next 10 years, it's amazing how 6 weeks off will make somebody want to sell somebody for literally nothing. Devontae Adams is a great example of that.
Right, right. Like, Curtis, do you have any fun stats on Corey Coleman?
I mean, he hasn't been on the field to accrue any stats.
Come on, man.
Oh, come on, bro.
So here's
Curtis is right, though.
So here's the thing. I mean, I'm a Central Ohioan, okay? So I've been a Browns fan my entire life. So I'm sorry.
No wonder you took up fantasy.
Yeah, I think my dad hates me. So I'm not sure why he would want to pass that on. But anyway, so here's my problem with Coleman. It's not that I don't like him. I was really excited when the Browns drafted him. I think he's got the type of profile that in kind of this new age where you can't put your hands on the receiver. He's perfect for that. And I think there was, you know, a few that maybe compared him to having some similarities with OBJ in terms of skill set when he's coming out. And, you know, I don't think that that's entirely inaccurate. My problem is he plays in Cleveland and, you know, everyone always wants to get excited, you know, every time they get, you know, a new fancy skill player. And until they get the guy under center, it doesn't really matter. And, you know, an example of what I think might happen with Coleman, and this would maybe be, it's not a best case scenario, but, you know, maybe a positive scenario, I guess, is, you know, for a couple years to follow that have been kind of what Devontae Parker's done. I mean, the Dolphins haven't figured out their quarterback situation, but the Browns would kill to have had Ryan Tannehill for the last couple years. And, you know, Parker's been a guy that's been dinged up a little bit. They have similarly high first round draft pedigree. And, you know, Parker is enticing at times, but you can't depend on him in fantasy at all. But he's, you know, continued to kind of preserve his value. And I think that's what I foresee for Coleman. Because even if the Browns pick their guy next year, you know, it's not like Coleman's going to become a wide receiver one with whatever, you know, rookie quarterback the Browns overdraft next year. So it's not that I don't like him, but, you know, he's 23. It might be 25 before we see what he's really capable of. And when I see, you know, guys that are ranked in a similar cohort to him, you know, like Mike Williams, who gets to play with Phillip Rivers for a couple years, or, you know, Juju, who gets to, you know, never draw the opposing team's top corner, you know, for, you know, at least till what, 2020, when AB signed through, you know, guys like this who are, you know, early in their career and have much rosier situations, I would, you know, really like to pivot to one of them versus holding Coleman.
All right. Well, with pivot in mind, why don't we go ahead and pivot over to a drunk or not? Looks like Nathan is so drunk he can't read his piece of paper, so I have to kick it over to Dan. Dan.
I think it's smart to kick to me because I was the beneficiary on this. I'm not going to say because I have a very strong feeling one way or the other.
He's slurring his text messages to you. Is that what I'm hearing?
the drunk or not that we haven't played in a while. But yeah, so Nathan and I made a trade just the other day. It was me receiving Keenan Allen and Michael Floyd, just, you know, to balance rosters, and Nathan receiving OJ Howard, Curtis Samuel, 2018 third, which will be very late, and a 2019.
Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. You're good.
A 2018 third, a 2018 third that will be very late, and a 2019 first that we don't project, you know, 2 years out, but this very well could be a 101. So there is some good value there. And then there was a condition that if I finish top two in the league, I also send Nathan a second, because I'm currently in first in that league and just got significantly better. Or I would send him an extra third if I finish, I believe it was third. So was Nathan, you want to go through this? Were you drunk or not? Do we want to take some guesses? Do you want to explain yourself? What do we want to do here?
Well, for everyone who is screaming, Nathan's an idiot. Nathan made a win later trade for the 87th time in his life or 870th time in his life.
Why don't you tell him how many firsts you have in that league?
10.
Oh, the next Lord Nathan, what's the matter with you?
But that's beside the point. My thinking in this trade, tight end premium league, OJ Howard, we've seen it on the he's had a few really good games, and he's looked like, you know, the type of talent that could get into that, like Kelsey. Basically, Kelsey's really the only one in that tier just after Gronk, maybe Ertz as well. So I think that Howard has flashed enough to warrant this type of, you know, trade, and I'm, you know, excited about him with Jameis, of course, and that 2019 possible 101 is obviously very exciting. But tight end premium OJ Howard is the main thing I wanted to get in there. And also, I'm not winning this year, so there's that. So we can start with Curtis. You're familiar with the game, drunk or not? Was I drunk or not?
I think you were a little drunk. I think you were a little drunk because not drunk. Maybe you were just like a sip past buzzed. But, you know, this is basically a trade where I see it as two. You got 2 seconds, 2 thirds, and a conditional maybe 2020 pick. I just don't think it's enough for Keenan.
Yeah, Nathan, I think you, I firmly believe, I think you were stroking photos of OJ Howard and looking at him just like, you're just looking at him fondly. You're like, you're so athletic. You're so nice. And I think you were like 9 or 10 Merlots in probably. I think he likes a dark, bold wine is what I'm saying. He likes his men a dark, bold tight end. Is what he wants.
This is the type of trade you make drinking box wine, though.
I fully believe that Nathan was under the intoxication and of both alcohol and OJ Howard to make this deal.
OJ Howard is quite intoxicating. I will say that. I think, honestly, I think the condition is the giveaway here. I think a lot of drunk or nots in the past that have had conditions always seem to go one way. And I think, Nathan, I believe you were sober at this point and you just were ready to give up because of how many times I pestered you about Keenan Allen.
Dan is right on the money. This was a case of Dan had pestered me so much. I was like, you know what? Let's get a deal done. I'm getting a deal done here. And that was the case. It was 10 a.m. in the morning on Sunday, so I was not drunk yet.
Communion wine.
Yeah, so in this episode of Drunk or Not, it is a not. I probably lose that trade short term, but I still think that there's a shot I can win it in the long term.
Well, when you have 15 first round picks on your roster from the next 2 years, yeah, your 2020 team is going to be all right, I think.
Yeah, until he trades those. Yeah, so all right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up the show. Nathan, you have no shot at winning that trade at any given point along the way. I want to remind our listeners to rate and review the podcast. We always appreciate 5-star reviews on iTunes. So make sure you go and you rate the RotoViz Radio app, and then also our individual feed, the Dynasty Trade app, or Dynasty Trade podcast in the app as well. So for Nathan, Dan, and myself, we want to say thank you to Curtis Patrick. Thanks so much for coming on the show, man. It was a ton of fun having you on. Dropping some numbers and actual analysis was impressive. So make sure you go follow Curtis at CPatrickNFL on Twitter, and he'll drop that knowledge. Pretty much drops it consistently. So anything else you want to plug there, Curtis?
Yeah, just check out DynastyCommandCenter.com. It's a new kind of Dynasty consultation venture that Ryan McDowell and myself started up earlier this season. And, you know, it's for listeners that just want that extra ear or set of eyes on trades and look at your rosters, look at your leagues and give you more than maybe you'd get from an analyst in the now 280 characters that they can respond to your questions with on Twitter. We've also got some great analysis from Russell Clay, TJ Calkins, Tom Kislingberry, and Brian Malone. So check us out, dynastycommandcenter.com.
Cool.
By the way, Curtis, all three of us are waiting on the phone call for I think when we're going to be a guest.
Yeah, I think we should just have a Tradecast day on the Slack channel and we'll just take it
that'd
over.
That'd actually be really fun. It wouldn't be possible to moderate that. But yeah, we got to get all you guys on there. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you actually want good analysis, I'm not sure I'd recommend it.
Don't invite us. Yeah, that'd be bad.
On that note, make sure you go check it out. Also, just to follow up on the trade that we did at the beginning of this, we are at 75-25. Henry is at 75%. P. Ryan's at 25%. But that's kind of how we saw this thing shaken out, which means 25% of people prefer P. Ryan. So go shop your P. Ryan's and get what you can for him, unless you're Dan. So for Dan, Nathan, Curtis, and myself, we will catch up with you guys next week. Take it easy.